Wednesday, we have prayer at 6:30 and Bible study from 7 to 8. Thursday is choir practice from 6:30 to 8. Next Sunday is the fifth Sunday. We're going to have soup and bread after the hymn series. And I think Keller has an announcement.
Yes, we're collecting the money.
Okay, everybody get your money into Keller. for what you ordered. He needs it today. Any other announcements?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a praise report. We counted the money that came in for the Children's Missions Fund for the year that we send away for to help villages and towns and children, especially all over the world. And we collected $262.75. So what the children will decide today, you know, different things to buy. They might get a cow for a family or a goat, and I'll report on that next week. And in the meantime, we'll put the jug back in, because it really helped having it there all year, you know.
Right.
And if you think of it, it really helps the children all over the world.
Good job.
Very good. Karen?
Okay, two things. First, I want to remind everybody that the food bank baskets up here again, we committed to donate cans of fruits, vegetables, soup, stuff like that every month. So we could make sure we get that done. And secondly, we're going to try our very, I think it's our first ever, Valentine's dinner and movie game night. So it's going to be February the 11th, that's a Saturday, at 4 o'clock. We'll order pizza. Everybody wants to bring desserts, you can do that. And then we're going to have a few games, and then Pastor Gary is going to have a movie for us. So it's going to be a really nice night. Ladies, you won't have to cook, and we'll have a good family time. So please come. And if you know that you're going to be coming ahead of time, could you let us know so maybe we could pre-order the pizza? Thank you.
Good job.
Sounds like fun. Any other? Yeah, we're good.
Sorry. Hannah has joined the Daisies. Part of the Girl Scout, and they are starting their cookie fund. So Girl Scout cookies, all different kinds. If you'd like to order some, Hannah and Kelly will sit up there after church rather than pass it around, okay? It's going to be a good Boy Scout, Girl Scout, everything.
Any other announcements? Okay. We have prayer requests for Barbara Costa, who's Lisa's patient, who's waiting for a kidney. Prayers for Linda's friend Karen, who is battling cancer. Healing prayers for Barbara and Jack. Barbara came home this week. We were hoping she would be here today, but maybe next week will be better for her. And Gally Moore, and she heals. And they both gain full use of their bodies. Healing prayers for Hannah Owen, Susan White, and all who battle the flu bugs. Prayers for Bob and Judy, Elmer and Charlie, and all those who battle Parkinson's. Prayers for all our cancer warriors. Extra prayer for the Reverend Bob Wellner as Bob's fight rages this week. Ken LaRock, Terry and Jeannie's sister Ruth, Charlie Roberts, Roger Kerboy, Karen's friend Dee and her husband, and all our cancer warriors. Continued prayers for Colin, for the Pullen family, baby Luke, Angelica Ward, and all our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Prayers for all the doctors and nurses for wisdom and guidance. Healing prayers for Kaylee Southern, Sue Caleb's daughter-in-law, Al Jetty, George Freeland, who we're happy he's with us,
Amen.
Missy Hagen, and my sister Priscilla. Do we have any more prayer requests? Yeah.
My best friend Christina, she's the one who had the double mastectomy back a few months ago. She was going through chemo. She was to do 6 rounds, and she almost didn't make it, so we had to stop at round 4, and she's in the hospital now, so try to get her kidneys better. She's not going to be doing chemo anymore. I've got some spots on her lungs.
And her name was?
Christina.
Christina. Any other? There we go. I guess we're ready for the call to worship.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
I gotta get rid of this coat. Time to go to work, Charlie's right. Good to have you all here, as always, every week. And I thought about different ways to start this service today. I was telling my wife that in a Catholic funeral mass, sometimes they'll start off the service with a homily, and the priest sings, "Be not afraid, I'm with you always." And I think that's kind of the message today. This was a week of ups and downs and new presidents and all types of stuff going on. And so I hope that when you're here today, you'll find the peace. That the peace will come upon you and be around you, and that still small voice of God will be very prevalent and evident to you. Our scripture that I want to start with today comes from Kings, from 1 Kings, and it's the story of a prophet named Elijah. And it says, Elijah got up and he ate and drank food and gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights. And he went to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, where he lived in a cave. And the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah sighed, "I worked very hard for the Lord of God of heavens, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you and torn down altars and killed your prophets, and only I am left, and now they're trying to kill me too." And God says to him, "Elijah, get out the cave. Go on outside and stand on the mountain." And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by in a mighty windstorm. And it was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then there was a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the scarf and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And the voice said again, "Why are you here, Elijah?" And today I hope you hear that gentle voice, that calm, gentle voice. I'm old enough, so I've seen leaders come and go. I was in Uncle Sam's army when Ronald Reagan came into office and people were scared. I was in the army when we changed presidents and the Clintons came in and people were scared. I was out of the army when a Barack Obama came in. And silly people talked about how they might assassinate Barack Obama before he was sworn in. Same silly people talked about that this week. My message to you is, be not afraid. We live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We live in a nation where every person's voice is heard and valued. And we are a nation founded under God. So we're going to talk about Christian duties as citizens of the world today. Because the world has been a violent, unsafe place.
From day one.
From day one. So my prayer for you as we do service today is that you will find a peace. That the storm that's on the outside will cease to be on the inside, if it's on the inside of you. That you will be lifted up. Yeah. That you will be more than you ever thought you could be. That you will leave here much better than when you came in the door. Because we are a small but mighty force. Alma mentioned that Barbara came home this week. Barbara and Jack hadn't intended to be here this morning. He's been getting her out of the house every day, going to Walmart and going shopping and this kind of stuff. And she's going to need a lot of work. And she continues to improve. Continues to improve. It's one of those things where it's not a short battle. It's a long interaction that requires a lot of prayer, preservation, and that type of thing. And a lot of the strength that they get comes from the little church on the hill and the prayers and the phone calls and the support from you folks. And but it's always, you know, as we come into service and you look at the prayer list, we were visiting this morning, and Joanne said, "I think you could take my dad off the prayer list." My dad's doing better.
Amen.
We could probably take George off the prayer list, but I think his feelings would be hurt if I didn't see him. I think he just comes to church to make sure his name is still there on that prayer list.
He is too.
But we're the power. We're the power that influences the world. We have a specific responsibility as citizens of the world. Jesus said, "You are the light." He didn't say it could be. He didn't say
maybe.
So you have specific jobs. Man. And your specific job is to be the light in the darkness. Yeah. And people are scared of the dark.
Yeah.
You know, even big guys like me on occasion are scared of the dark. My granddaughter, AJ, she's 2. And we've convinced her now that the dark is okay. She came out of the house the other night, and she walks down the stairs. She goes, "It's dark. I'm not here." Complete faith that it was okay. And we have to walk with that same kind of faith through whatever darkness and whatever turmoil comes along, because that's our job. So if you rise, if you're able, our reading this day comes from 4:15, it is God who holds the nations. Yeah. And we're going to read the first paragraph together. Then the folks on this side are going to read the second paragraph. The folks on this side are going to read the third paragraph. And we're all going to read the fourth paragraph together. Brian, you got all that? Okay. All right. Together reading.
It is God who holds the nations in the hollow of his hand. It is God whose light is shining in the darkness of the land. It is God who builds the city on the rock and not on the sand. The living God be praised.
It is God whose every purpose is
to use the present hour, who recalls us to our senses when our nation's life turns sour. In the discipline of freedom, we shall know the saving power, the living God be praised. When a thankful nation, looking back, has cause to celebrate those who win our admiration by their service to the state, when self-giving is a measure of the greatness of the great, the living God be praised.
Together.
God reminds us every sunrise that the world is ours on lease. For the sake of life tomorrow, may our love for it increase. May all races live together, share its riches, be at peace. The living God be praised. Amen.
Join with me in prayer. Father, we come today and we're thankful. Thankful for the nice, warm weather. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to come and gather together with like-minded Christians here and all around the world. Opportunity, Lord, to come together and be renewed, lifted up, healed, and motivated to go through the next week and be that light. Be that beacon of hope that other folks need along the way. Be the guiding light that leads folks home to you, Lord, so that none are left behind. We thank you this day, Lord, for all the blessings in our lives, for the opportunity to live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, for the opportunity to live in communities the size of Wales and Holland and Brimfield and the surrounding towns where our children and our values are reflected in our lifestyle, where we have the opportunity for peace and safety. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for this day and every day. And now, Father, as we gather in together and we settle into our pews to be recharged and lifted up, we gather in the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us when he said,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Hi, Barb. Welcome home. You guys are already standing up. It's a shame not to utilize your prayer power while you're standing up. You folks up there can come on down here and join with me and Ed. And I'd like my deacons to come up front. We're going to do prayer time now. We're going to start by praying for Barb and Jack and the rest of the crew. Then the prayer is going to move over to the folks on my left. It's going to come up through and fetch all you people on the way through. All the folks on our bulletin need prayer. Need to keep folks like Sue White and Owen in prayer. They've got that bug. I told Howard, I'm sure Kelly caused that. I think Kelly was patient number one.
Patient zero, absolutely, yeah.
But I want to pray for Barb and Jack and for all the family. Now, as she continues to heal, and the power comes in this prayer. Jack, you slide over, and I want everybody all connected.
You mean everybody?
Everybody. Hey, Charlie, I want all y'all.
Okay.
Father, we come together today and we are blessed and blessed, mind you. Thank you so much that Barbara's back home, that Jack has brought her here, that she comes with her daughter, that her other daughters are going to come and support her, and sisters coming to support her. We thank you, Father, that you are a God of miracles, great miracles. We thank you and praise you for the progress that she's made so far. We pray for the heart of her husband and the heart of her daughters and her family as they support her and move forward. We thank you and praise you that you are a God that answers prayer. We pray, Father, for strength and for healing. We pray, Father, that right now that you touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, that you lift her up, Father, and that you continue this miracle to increase, that her body is restored and renewed and lifted up. We pray that Jack and the rest of the family, as we work together as a unit to help Barbara move again and to be able to talk and do her work again, Father, that they become a highly honed tool in your toolbox, Father, that others see the miracle. Father, lift up all the other folks on our prayer requests. We ask prayers of healing for folks like Susan White and Owen, and people that are plagued with the bug. We thank you and praise you for the progress that Kelly Warren has made. We pray for all the children and the folks on our prayer list. And now, Father, we add our own individual prayers.
Which is decided to look up Barbara and Jack and the kids. Lord God, I thank you that Barbara's here today. Father, I pray that you continue to encourage her and strengthen her. Father, we pray for your joy, for the whole family.
I too pray that Barbara gains full use of her body over time, that everyone be in awe at her example and her determination, and that she knows that she has our backs and we have ours.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for all this progress and holding the family of the living. We continue to bring her to full capacity. Thank you, Father, for allowing us all to be here together today, Father, and I thank you for Father being here and your children and family, Lord. I thank you for watching over her. I thank you, Kelly Moore. I pray you continue to be with her and stand with her. And also, you, our sister, Susan White. Thank you for your love and mercy and your grace,
Father God, to God be the glory, great things that He hath done. And He ain't finished yet. We're still a work in progress. And we just praise you for the exciting things that you're working in all our lives, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional. We need a loving arms around us. Lord, we can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens us. And we ask for a special unction of the Holy Spirit on every heart here, starting with Barbara, and radiating out and inward, that we have peace in the midst of the storm. But we are busy about the Lord's business. In Jesus' name, we say amen.
Thank you, Father, for bringing Barbara back to us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This church, this
grace did not save you. Yes. You are against the end of the Lord as before. You were to God.
Yes.
Thank you for our brother. Thank you for your impact.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for peace, wisdom, and guidance from our Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for my church family. God bless them.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord,
you have sent your family to speak to you.
Thank you, God, for the being. Tomorrow, we pray that you go and you can be really ongoing in full strength again. Thank you, dear Lord. We love you and we love Barbara and all her family. God bless her. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for all the love and support that everyone has given us. And we just are having faith every day and taking every small victory one at a time. And we're just working really hard, and Barbara's really looking forward to being 100%. And I'm just really grateful to have her home and comfortable and on her way to a full recovery. So may the Lord provide for all of you, for all of your needs and all of our needs. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the healing of my mother. Thank you for everyone who supported us, friends, family, church, family, neighbors, and we're thankful and grateful because we couldn't have done it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father, for your hand and your healing. Please be thank you for Jesus.
Lord, you said wherever two or three of you who are gathered in your name, you are here in the midst of us, and we believe you there. You are right here with us now, today, right here, this minute.
Mm-hmm.
And with all of us, Lord, you just bless God.
Father, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, every person here, Lord God. And I pray that you would put a song on Barbara's heart as she recuperates, Lord God. Thank you for the strength that you've given her so far. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might praise you through thick and thin, through hard times and good, Lord. Help us to be about your business, Lord. I do pray for Owen, Lord God, that you and he and Hannah would be rid of this cough, Lord God. And please give their family strength. And same with Susan, Lord God, that today would be the day that she would breathe deeply and fully. And give them all to Lord God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of this day, Lord. Thank you so much that our sister is back. It's a little church of ours, Lord. And she blessed her and her family, Lord. And she continues to recover, Lord. We thank you for the blessing that she is for us today, Lord, being here. Pray for little Warren and all the other people that are battling the flu bug, Lord. That you can let it all come to an end, Lord, and prepare ourselves for a wonderful spring. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you and praise you. We lift up all our prayers to you, spoken and unspoken, knowing that you have a plan for us for good, not for evil. We know, Father, that you have an abundance that you want to provide with us and share with us, and all we need to do is walk forward in your work. And now, Father, we lift up all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Continue our our service with 423, the Star Spangled Banner, and we'll do just the first verse, 423. Ushers will go up forward, receive our tithes and our offerings. And as Karen mentioned, we've got a collecting of cans started again up front. Part of our service to the community is the food bank, and we were the church that picked out the canned goods to donate to the food bank. We do the vegetables and fruits and that type of thing. So when you go into the store and you get buy one, you get 46 free, make sure you bring the 43 or 4 extra ones that you got down here so we can share with the food bank. We are blessed and blessed mightily. We're blessed abundantly. If you look at the events of the last week and just the last few days, Bridget teaches down at Central. Central had 4 high school seniors killed in a car accident this week. Majority were high school seniors getting ready to graduate this year. Last night, if you saw the news today, Mississippi got hit again with tornadoes.
Yeah.
And they got hit with horrific tornadoes, reminding me of Brimfield and where the destruction had gone through. So we are a truly blessed community. And, when you get the George Reelands and the Barbaras coming back to church after they've been sick and had things happen along the way, you just realize just how really blessed that we are. So the ushers will come forward now and receive the morning offering.
Amazing grace.
children shall heed them.
Amen.
Father, we come humbly. We come blessed and blessed mightily. You give us each day the things that we need plus. We return now to you, Father, just a small portion of what you've given to us. We ask that you bless these gifts as well as the giver, that you multiply, magnify, and utilize them in your work, Father, so that we might expand our ministry, so that we might be a light that others can see, so that no one's left behind. Help us, Lord, to mentor our young children well. Help them to grow strong and healthy, Father, and help us to move forward and do your work and never question why. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
There we go.
Good job. And all the children can come down front.
You do? I don't want him on my class.
Something in the middle.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, how about if we put you up here on this bench here? Wait for a couple more here.
Come on down.
All right. Now everybody's here. You can sit here. So, anybody remember the name of the prophet the pastor was talking about? Elijah. Elijah was a very godly man, but he got nervous about things too, just like we do. And when he found out that there was someone in the government who was killing all of the God's prophets, he panicked and ran away. But then his pastor talked from the Bible. It says that God spoke to him and said, get out of that cave. That's not where I want you. I didn't call you to be a man of God to hide in the cave. So he goes and he tells the king, Ahab, who the Bible says was the worst king of all. He was the meanest. He did the worst things. He was just awful. He did nothing that God wanted him to do. In fact, he tore down God's temple. And Elijah went to him and said, I want you to call together all of your prophets. These were prophets that said that this guy Baal was going to be the new God, and that there was going to be a god of fire and a god of this and a god of that. And he said, I want you to call all of your priests and prophets, and you get them all together. And the Bible says there was almost 1,000 of them. And he said, okay, we're going to have a contest to show which God is the real God, your fake ones over there or the real God. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So this is what he did. He said, I want you to, now they used to offer sacrifices, and they would offer up a cow, and they would cut the cow up and use it for meat, and they put it on the fire. They would set the wood on fire, and then that's how they would offer up their sacrifice to God, and they would pray. Well, this time Elijah said, I want you to do something different. I want you to, you can pick the cow, you can make the fire, I mean, you can put the wood down, and instead of you lighting it, I want you to ask your gods to light the fire. And then I'm going to do the same thing. And all day long, they kept praying and saying, oh, Baal, send out fire. And Elijah started picking on him after a while and said, where is your God? Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe you got to call louder. And so they started yelling, Baal, come send fire down. Nothing happened. So then Elijah said, okay, cut up the cow that he had, and he put it on top of the wood. But instead of just having a plain old altar, he rebuilt the altar that king had destroyed. And he dug this big trench. Anybody know what a trench is?
It's basically just a dip in the ground.
Yes, it is. He dug out an area all around the entire altar, about 3 feet wide, around the whole thing. And then he said, now I want you to get me buckets of water. Well, they had jars. Get jars of water. And they dumped jars of water all over the meat, all over the wood.
so that it caught it all around, because it hadn't been raining for a few years. So the ground was really dry, and if he had just done that without that ravine all the way around it, the water would have just washed away. But he wanted to make sure that everybody understood God is still in control. He can do anything. So he had that water collecting at the bottom. The wood was wet. The meat was wet. And he said, God, I want you to prove to this whole people that you are the one true God. Send fire down. And there was so much fire that it just burned up all of that wood, all of that meat, and the other guy's meat too, and wood. God was still in control. There are things that people in the government are going to do that we're going to say, why are they doing that? This can't be what God wants. Maybe it's not what God wants. But does that change what your responsibility is? No. We are still to show, prove to everybody that God is still in control. Now, God may not tell you to build a fire, build a big thing of with wood and try to make a fire from heaven, but you have responsibilities to pray when there's people are sick. We have responsibilities to pray because people like Barbara. People said, oh, probably she's not ever going to be able to do much. She's probably never going to be able to walk. She might not be able to come to church again. But look, people prayed. We proved the doctors who's in control, not them.
Amen.
God is in control, right?
Yeah.
That's right. So that is our responsibility, to pray no matter who's president, no matter who's in the government, no matter who's your teacher is, no matter who anybody else is, your responsibility is to prove that God is real and that he is still alive and he's still working miracles and he's still in control. Okay? Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are in control, that there is nothing that is too difficult for you. And Father God, that you love to just show off your stuff and prove to everybody that you're in control. Lord, I ask that we would be faithful to show everyone else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now you may go, Mrs.
Jenny. Any service at 418, America the Beautiful, we'll do first and last verses of 418.
That exist have been instituted by God.
Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you wish to have no fear of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive its approval, for it is God's servant for your good. But if you do what's wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is the servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience. For the same reason you also pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, busy with this very thing. Pay to all what is due them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. And this was taken from Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Amen.
Thank you,
God. Join with me in prayer. Father, we ask always that this time would be your time, that the message would be special for each person out here, that the words that come out of my mouth would be acceptable to you, Lord, and the message that the person receives and holds in their heart to ponder and to move forward with would be the message that you have for each person. Surround us with angels, lift us up, open our hearts and minds to new possibilities. Father, we ask all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Some days it's just not easy being a warrior for God. A lot of us wore a uniform for a long time. The good-looking guy in the back there, young Leon, he and I wore a uniform for a long time. I had a funny question asked me this week. A young lady came over and she said to me, "You know, I need to get together with you and visit. You seem to know the history a lot longer than anybody else." And I thought to myself, I must be getting a lot older than I thought. I'm kind of like a living history, Howard.
But you are a national treasure.
In my mind, and hopefully yours, Howard. But
a great American.
Yeah, but like my wife, God bless my wife, she puts up with me, but she'll start a thought partway through, and that's what this lady did. Well, she said, "I need to get together with you on the history of Leon Gifford." He said, I need to know more about Leon. I said, "Well, I only was with him for a couple days." I think you and I have been known each other for what, over 30 years now, Leon?
It's been over 30.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
Yeah. Even when we'd only known each other for a couple weeks, someday it seemed like it was 30. But as a Christian, you know, some days our mettle is tested. We become passionate about things. Now, some of you folks, you folks are sitting there all smug, thinking that you're all Patriots fans. But I know for a fact that there's Pittsburgh fans out there.
Yes.
That are
good.
Yes. That are good.
Yes. And the door's rolling.
That's right. That's right. And that can cause division unrest and hurting feelings and all that stuff. And some days it's just tough to be like Jesus, you know. And one day a mother was preparing pancakes for her sons. Kevin's 5 and Ryan's 3. And the boys began to argue over who was going to get the first pancake. Mother saw an opportunity here. She said, this is a teaching moment. She says to them, "If Jesus was sitting here, he would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait.'" With that, Kevin turned to his younger brother and said, "You be Jesus." We do that with the politics of this past week. We do that with the game that's going to be played today. We do that with a lot of things. I want to be like Jesus. Wait. Ed, you be Jesus this time. I got to wait a minute. And you can see from the scripture that the problems of the world have not changed. I used the scripture from Romans. But if you look in your bulletin in 1 Peter, second chapter, verses 13 to 17. It says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king or unto the governors or unto those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and to praise those that do well. For so the will of God that well-doing may put silence to the ignorance of foolish men. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Sometimes it's your example that sets the tone. That two young folks come and take the offering today. It was nice to watch Grandma and surrogate Grandma guide those two little girls down the thing. It had two senior member women that had the two young women in front of them guiding along the way. Our job is to set the tone. We used to call it walking the walk. You get up every day and you square away your uniform and you check each other out as you go along. Women of the church here do that for me all the time because I seem to have the ability to have everything on crooked, which is kind of nice because I get a lot of attention along the way that way. But we used to do it in the military so that you were squared up and at least you looked like you knew what you were doing. Well, everything, you know, wired tight, good line straight. And Christians are responsible for that. And to show you that this isn't the first problem that came along, not only in Romans, but on October 6th of 1774, John Wesley gave this advice. He quoted the book of Ephesians, verse chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Galatians 6, verse 10. So then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. And Romans 12, 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Obey the law. The verses we read from Romans tell us that we need to be subject to governing authorities. But it explains that there is no authority except that which God has established. And in case we missed it, Paul said again, the authorities that exist have been established by God. And that's always one that I pondered along the way. I pondered it when I was in the military and they were cutting the bases and the structure that I loved so much along the way. I sat and prayed for the president and the Congress to make wise decisions, and I watched the bases that I knew the defense of our nation rested on cut and cut and cut again. And I heard the words of that verse say, the authorities that exist have been established by God. And I think that's one of the things that hones a Christian's steel in their sword, is along the way, stuff happens. And you say to yourself, God, what's up? What's up? Well, I've prayed for this to pass. I've prayed for this healing to occur. I've prayed for a job opportunity. I've prayed for this. And God says, I'm making your steel harder. God says, I'm sharpening your steel. For as one man sharpens another, so iron sharpens iron, and your steel becomes better. Steel becomes better. It's like working out. Leon and I were blessed. This wasn't in my sermon, I just thought of this. Remember when John Pumphrey took over, Leon? Colonel Pumphrey was a Harvard graduate. Well, probably the smartest guy that we've ever had as a commander. The guy was brilliant. And he came on board and we had huge numbers. We were paid to recruit soldiers in the Army. That was not good enough for the Colonel. The Colonel read a regulation that said we're supposed to be healthy. We're supposed to be examples of a high-speed, low-drag, Teflon-coated, high-intensity army that can run and maximize the opportunity to do physical training. So he took us out of our job description and made us run. And when you look back at it, we were kind of funny because, you know, we were pretty good-looking batch of recruiters, and we showed up for our first PT test, and guys had sandals on, guys had flip-flops on, and you knew they hadn't worked out in a zillion years. And I thought, oh, this is crazy. It's gonna, you know, it's gonna kill our numbers. I gotta take all this time out to work out. Didn't do anything but make us better. We were healthier. We trained together more. I never ran so much in my life. You know, I would, my area was huge. I had from Springfield all the way back to the Bird Pier. So the beginning of the week, I'd run at Westover on Monday. And I might get the guys from Springfield, and if the guys from Northampton and everywhere else was processing, they'd come to Westover. And we'd run. On Tuesday, I'd go to Northampton, Greenfield area. I'd run again. On Wednesday, I was in North Adams running there. On Thursday, I was someplace else. So I was running 5 days a week and working out. But it increased the camaraderie, the communications. Sometimes the things that you go through make your family and your work group tighter. Sometimes you come together. And the things that you survive make you stronger. Do politicians always get it right? Nah, not always. But then we don't get it always right either. I make a zillion decisions a day. If I can get 75% of them right, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, good day.
Yeah, good day, you know. And the thing is, when you think that there's no hope for the sinner, pick up your Bible, flip it to the book of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. Matthew was the lowest of the low. He had turned against the Jewish folks. He collected taxes for the invading army of Rome. Matthew was not well liked, and yet Matthew became a follower of Jesus. As we go through and talk about Paul's scripture that we used in Romans, Paul lived during the reign of Nero, a Roman emperor known for his tyranny. Nero murdered his own mother and possibly his brother-in-law and countless other Christian believers. Sometimes we just don't see the big picture. Sometimes we don't see the big picture along the way. But from experience, I will tell you this nation will continue to flourish, that we as a Christian group will continue to grow and flourish, that there will be changes. Some folks will go home to be with God, other folks will be stay here, folks will be added to our flock. Our mission will change as we go along. And as long as we keep God's scripture in our mind that our job comes from the Beatitudes. It's when Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus doesn't say, some of you all. When you go through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, all of you all. You are blessed, the poor in spirit. You are blessed, those that mourn. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. And it was interesting, I listened to a sermon last night from Robbie Schuller. And he talked about the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, when Jesus preached, he preached to a multitude of folks. Some weren't believers. Some just came because they were hoping to see a miracle. Some just came because that was the biggest event going on. Others came because they were curiosity seekers. But he said, I can tell you down front from the book and from all the historians that documented that they were vagabonds, ragamuffins. He said, any other cliche that you can want to use. They were not the chosen people. They were folks just like you and I. They were ragtag. They were folks of different age groups and different value system that came together and heard Jesus preach. And Jesus said, you are. He didn't say you could be. Just like the sermon about the light. You are the light. Now you can take your light and you can stick it underneath a bushel. Or you can uncover that bad boy. And I'm going to tell you right now that I wasn't at Central High School this week, Bridget, but they needed a lot of light down there. Needed a lot of light. A lot of those kids do not have adult role models. A lot of those kids don't have the tools to do with. So folks like Bridget, I'm sure you were taxed this week with kids that wanted to talk, that wanted to come in, that wanted to go see Bridget because Bridget has the light. Bridget has the light. Whether there's a crisis going on or not, you can go into her classroom, and if you don't understand the subject matter and it may not be her class, she'll either explain it to you or she'll get somebody who does.
Amen.
That's what being the light is. So this day and every day, as always in my message, be blessed. Be more than you ever thought you could be. Be the one thing that Pittsburgh and New England are going to look for in this game.
Yes.
They're going to look for a game changer. They're going to look, Pittsburgh's going to look to come in and change the tone. Patriots are going to come in and try and keep the tone. But somewhere in that game, there's going to be a game changer. You can be that today. You can be that game changer for somebody that needs a phone call, that somebody that needs a meal, that somebody that needs a ride, somebody that needs a hug, somebody that needs your power of fellowship, and only you have that power. I can share the light and love of Jesus that Gary Burdick has inside, but I don't have Ed's light and love of Jesus, nor Charlie's, nor Brian's, nor Buck's, or anybody else. You each have your own light. If you watch torches burn, when you mix and match the oxygen and acetylene ratio on a torch, you get a different color on the flame. Flame's still hot. Flame's still got the same source, but you each have your own flame. And you each cut that metal at a different speed. So this day be blessed. Be more than you ever thought you could be. And as we close this service, we'll sing 417 with enthusiasm. My country tis of thee. That you may have missed in the past. And that this week, as you move forward, may you move forward with your light shining brightly, so that all that are afraid and all that don't know the way home will follow you back to Jesus' arms. We ask all these things and breathe Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said,
Amen.